Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time, a time of celebrating you, a time of pursuing you, a time of seeking you. Calm our minds. Pause our anxieties or worries, and let us be fully present to receive from you. It's in the matchless name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Amen. There are some things that you look at, and it's just like clearly wrong, or it's clearly good. It just makes sense. Like, this is bad, this is not. This is good, this is not. But sometimes it depends on your perspective. It depends on how you see things. Let's take eating as an example. Let's take food as an example. Some of y'all cook, and the way you cook, the whole goal for your cooking is for nutritional value. You try to cook just to make sure that people are healthy and it is nutritious, and sometimes your taste buds adjust because you care more about nutritional value than you do taste. But some of y'all are like me. When you show up to a Super Bowl party, you ain't thinking about the salad. You're looking for the bacon-wrapped Twinkies, you know what I'm saying? Like you ready to do your thing. You're thinking about taste, and that's your first and foremost. See, food can have a good intention of nutrition or a good intention of taste. And not that you always have to sacrifice, but your perspective sometimes matters. I was kicking it this past week with some of my friends that we haven't all been together. It's five of us. We haven't all been together in like 20 years, but there's usually somebody missing, and we were all able to get together. And one of my good friends, we began talking, and we were talking about this boxing match that was coming up. MMA is a type of boxing that's a bit brutal. And last weekend, there was a big MMA fight going on. And so I saw the posture of one of my friends change as we're all talking and laughing about, yeah, man, and you know, remember Mike Tyson used to do people like this, and man, these guys wouldn't be able to hang with Tyson. And so we're having this banter, and one of my friends, I could see his posture change. And we're like, what's up? It's like, well, man, like, my son is training to be an MMA fighter. And he's like, and I can't even watch it anymore. I can't even look at boxing anymore, because to imagine someone harming my son like that, it just brings me to tears. But even if my son won, the character of my friend was one where it's like, but now I know there's somebody else's parents on the other side of who gets knocked. So even if my son wins, does that parent win? Like, the way I see fighting has changed now that I have a loved one in the fight. This book of 1 Timothy that we've been in, y'all, this book that is helping us understand and root who we are in Christ. This book of 1 Timothy, Paul is trying to get across this main message about us having faith in the midst of a good fight. Would you turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6? 1 Timothy chapter 6. We'll have Paul help us understand what does it look like to have faith in the midst of a good fight. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And if someone gets there and can tell us what page that is, we would be grateful. We're going to start at verse 11. 1693. And for those of you at home, we thank you for joining us as we celebrate Christ. You can turn with your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting at verse 11. And for those of us with us, that's page 1693. It says, "But you, man of God, flee from all of this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses, in the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession. I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed in so doing, have departed from the faith. Back up to verse 11. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. But you, man of God, some little phrases are action-packed. Sometimes a few words will have a deeper meaning, and this is one of those times. If you was getting ready for date night or going out with the girls and somebody saw you out and they was like, sister, that outfit you got on is killing it. You giving off like Angela Bassett vibes. You giving off Scarlett Johansson vibes right now. You might feel a little in yourself. Or if brothers was like, hey, man, we seen you hooping today, man. And, you know, you remind me of Akeem Olajuwon. You was killing it. You was kind of Jordan with your game today. The name association would puff you up a little bit. Some of y'all are like, who is Scarlett Johansson? I tried. You know what I'm saying? I got to go younger. My daughter ain't here. She ain't help me. Okay. But there is an association with names and some of those accomplishments that when you see yourself in that light, it puffs you up a little bit. And here he's saying, man of God, and that phrase is connected to Old Testament leaders. And so the type of family he would have been in that would have been called man of God was people like Elijah, people like David, people like Daniel, women like Elizabeth, Deborah, Rahab, people of character, people that shined, people that heard God's word and then went out and preached it, shared it faithfully. And so Paul is putting Timothy in that lineage. He's saying, hold on, know who you are. Know the line that which you are being connected to. Know how God works through them and how he is also going to work through you. But I love that the Bible says there is but one perfect. And so when you hear a term like man of God, or you think of these great pillars in the faith, every single one of those pillars had some issues. So when you hear these verses today, don't discount yourself and begin to say something like, well, that's cool for a Timothy, but God, you don't know my issues. God, you don't know my struggles. You don't know what I just did last night, but I still came in here today with my head hanging low. See, this should be a word of encouragement that actually, if you fall in a lineage of great people in the Bible, they was great, broken, jacked up people just like you, and you should smile. I'm in the company of greatness, not greatness because of their strength, greatness because of what God did with a broken people, and he can do that with me too. Hallelujah. You are women and men of God, and that is because of his beautiful presence in you, not because of your perfect actions. So verse 11, he says, but you, man of God, and then he says this term, flee. Flee from all of this. Flee from what? flee from what he says in the verses above, which were things like people that were arrogant. Flee from bad doctrine, bad teaching. Flee from conceited folk. Flee from money-hungry environments. Flee from folks that always love to argue. Do you know somebody that when you get in a discussion, sometimes it always leads to an argument? You know anybody like that? People that's like, how did we get here again? I was just asking you, did you want cookies or chips? There are people who like arguing, people who actually love money. And he says, flee from those things. Flee, run, get away, rid yourself. Continually leave the environment that is unhealthy. But he says, but there is an opportunity for you to flee from one thing. Here's what you run towards. Run towards, in verse 11, righteousness. It says, run towards godliness. Run towards faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Never heard a person say, man, you just got too much love, faithfulness, and kindness, and I'm good on that. Like these are the types of traits that it's okay for you to overwhelm in them. If loving money and revolving our lives around money is the evil, what does it look like to revolve our lives around righteousness and holiness, around godliness, faith, around love? But then verse 12 is what is kind of bringing us into Paul's thinking and sincere challenge for Timothy. If these things are kind of the stair steps, and now you're about to open the door and walk into the house of Paul's thinking, it's found right here in verse 12. It says, fight the good fight of faith. He actually said that in chapter 1, verse 18, so in the beginning of the book of Timothy, and now he says it in the last chapter, chapter 6, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. This phrase is a phrase that goes back to Greek and Roman times. See, in those times, you would have individuals that were kings, and the kings would say, this is a land that we are going to go take over. And so each time you would have community members rise and say, I'm willing to go fight for you, king. And that war would take place, and the individual would go out and fight, and when they came back, they got a little stature. I don't know anything about military, and I don't want to disrespect our military people, but I can imagine it's almost like the stripes or something. They would have something that reflected that they went out to war and came back. And then the king would say, and there's another area we're going to, and you go out yet again. And each time that this person goes out and comes back, their stature in the community builds. And after you've been out enough times, then the king would say, and that person is who I would like to choose to elect to be a leader, to be a politician, to be an influence. You didn't get to just say, oh, I want to lead, and you got to lead. No, you had to prove yourself in war. And you had to prove yourself again and again and again, because if you are willing to put your life down for this kingdom, now I know you're trustworthy. Now I know I can believe you. Now you can be an extension of who I am because you was willing to put your life on the line repeatedly. He says here that the one who perseveres, the one who continuously fights this fight of good faith, that is the one who's representing the kingdom of God. Paul is trying to say, no, I don't want you fighting for these worldly kingdoms out here. I don't want you trying to take advantage of land. I want you to see that there is a heavenly kingdom that is so much greater than anything you would fight for in this world. Give your life to that. But don't just give your life once to it. Because if you are a Christian, or if you know Christians, and some Christian has brought you today, a Christian will testify to you that life challenges don't seem to stop the day you say yes to Jesus. Amen. For some reason, it's not like life just got smooth and easy when you said, okay, Jesus, I love you. You made a choice to say yes. And you got to keep making a choice to say yes. And you got to keep making a choice to say yes. Every day you recommit to these beautiful values of who Christ is and saying, yep, today I'm going to do it yet again. That's what fighting the good fight looks like. And that's what Paul is trying to instill in Timothy. You've got to fight daily, continually, consistently. There was this beautiful image that comes up, and it's interesting because it doesn't look beautiful when you see it. It's an image of a man, and actually I had two that I was going to show you guys, but I failed to send it in early enough. There's a picture of a man in a ring, and he's a boxer, and in his ear are his coaches and his trainers. And the beautiful thing is that even a man like Muhammad Ali or Mike Tyson, some of the greatest fighters we've ever known, they all had trainers and coaches. The goal of the trainer and the coach is twofold. It is to remind you of the plan that you had coming in. You've worked up to this. You've been preparing for this. What was that list we had earlier? The faith, the godliness, the love, endurance, gentleness, that's the plan. Stick to the plan. So you got a coach that's in your ear saying, stick to the plan. But sometimes when you are right in the midst of it, you can't see clearly. All you see is right here. And so your coach is also there to show you and tell you what the enemy is tossing your way that you might not see. Because you're so close in the midst of this thing, you can't step back and see the bigger picture. And so it is the coach's job to not abandon the plan, but to help you refine. That's the image of the Holy Spirit. You are in a fight for your life. Satan keeps throwing things your way. And the Holy Spirit is like, no. I know what they're throwing. You don't get to throw out love. You don't get to throw out kindness. You don't get to throw out gentleness. You're not going to fight the way they're fighting. Nope, you can't trip them and cheat. We're going to stick to our plan. But I want you to see some of the evil ways that they're trying to set you up. And don't take the bait. If you need to, it's okay to back up. It's okay to flee a little bit and regroup and get your mind focused. Because this fight is a fight of faith. Continue with me, y'all. So the next kind of passages are kind of twofold. One is going to tell us what not to do, and one is going to tell us what we should be doing. One section is going to say, hey, this is what you should be going for. The other one is going to say, this is what you should not be going for. What we should be going towards, starting in verse 13. It says, in the sight of God who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who will, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge to you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lords of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in approachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to be honor and might forever. Amen. Amen. We get the model. Okay, we get the model that Jesus testifies before Pontius Pilate this beautiful gospel message. He says, you are fighting the good fight, and the thing that I want you to do is be willing to share, be willing to go forward, be willing to be vocal about your faith, be willing to confess. There's this beautiful image of baptism that's connected here. You know, baptism is a profession and a confession. It's you saying, I'm going public. The world needs to know God is my king, and that's who I roll with. But it's also a confession of you saying, and you know what? What I used to believe, I don't believe that no more. I'm submitting to a new way of thinking. I'm submitting to Christ as Lord of lords, King of kings. See, if Jesus can say that type of thing, can we? I believe we can. I believe many of you have, and I've been blessed to be a part of your journey where we've had a giant trough up here, and we've baptized a lot of you, and you've shared your testimony. And the question isn't, did you do it? The question is, when's the last time you've done it? When's the last time someone heard your testimony? When's the last time somebody was like, oh, she's nice for a bigger purpose than just being nice. He's kind for a bigger purpose than just being kind. There is a fight for this new kingdom that she is about that's different than other people. See, that's what Jesus is doing. Jesus is in the public square. Pontius Pilate is the culture, and Jesus says, I stand for something different. It's modeling that same character unto us. That's what we are to do. Here's what we're not supposed to do, though. Look at verse 17 with me. It says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. He's saying what to do and not to do. And sometimes, y'all, we gotta be careful in thinking that if we don't take steps, God's kingdom doesn't get advanced. I'm not saying that all God's kingdom is responsible, you're responsible for it. But God is wanting to use you. He does want to use you in a mighty way, and you taking steps advances God's kingdom. I love swimming, and they told me that I should be able to float. For whatever reasons, I got heavy feet. I try to float. I start sinking, y'all. The only time, though, that I'm able to float is when the water is still. If it's still water, I'm good. But if the water starts getting wavy and choppy, I start sinking. Now, some of y'all can float in the wavy water. That's cool. But there's something that I've noticed, though, and it's that if I try to float in the current and I look up at the beautiful sky, I look up, before I know it, the wave has taken me somewhere if I'm not moving. That it is in itself moving me if I choose not to act. And our world's culture is the same. You can choose to do nothing, but the culture will sway you one way or another. As Christians, we have to choose to engage. I don't care if you do a little flutter kick, baby. Do what God is calling you to do, to be active, or the culture will take you. I'm not one of these super anti-culture where all aspects of the culture we need to just run from. No, God uses all things for his beautiful glory. But when it comes to kingdom fighting, we don't get to opt out, say we confess who Jesus is, and then just kind of live. No, we have to take steps. We have to be intentional. We have to be willing to move forward the beauty of God's word in a biblical fight daily. And it is a fight. Trust me, it is a fight. We have been putting words to the stress of humanity more recently as we talk about mental health. And it's a good thing. But y'all, we've been carrying a lot of stuff for a long time before we named it as mental health. Fighting this fight is not easy. It is not easy for anyone, and it is not easy for Christians. I'm saying all that to say, if it gets overwhelming, if you need a break, because part of the craziest components of whether it's boxing or MMA, they get a break in between each round. Some of you feel like in this spiritual battle that you haven't had a break in a long time. And Lord, you're just asking for some relief for a moment. We are here for you. We love you, and we want to walk with you. And we know that that fight is difficult. We know that that fight is one of perseverance, but Paul is saying, don't give up. Don't you throw in the towel. Don't let culture take you away. Lean upon your sisters, lean upon your brothers, lean upon your leadership who wants to walk with you, pray with you, journey with you. Maybe that's one of the things I'm asking too. Consider your role. Because sometimes you're the one, well, all the time as Christians, you're the one in the fight, fighting the good fight. But sometimes I need you to be the coach to help me out. Help me to see what I can't see. Help remind me of the approach that we said we're going to be about. See, if we're not the body loving on one another and encouraging one another and sharpening and challenging and helping us enter into prayer to say, you know what, I don't know what that next tactic is going to be, but I'm going to pursue God on your behalf and I'm going to get back to you after me and God have some time in prayer about your situation. What does it look like for this body to keep loving each other well enough to say, I can't get in the ring with you, but I can sit right next to that thing and be a prayer warrior that walks with you in this journey? We fight this good fight, but we don't fight it alone. We don't fight it alone. We fight this good fight, but we don't fight it alone. Alone is not how we fight the good fight, because we in the midst of godly people, so we fight this good fight, but we don't fight it alone. Amen? Amen. I was listening to, or I was reading some different articles, and sadly, there was three things that Paul keeps saying. He keeps saying, man, doctrine is so important. What you believe will affect what you do. It affects your actions. Your actions flow out of what you believe. Then he says also in this book, but be careful of arrogant people, people whose pride is so puffed up. And lastly, he talks about money-hungry people, saying, watch out for them. They will deceive you because their end goal is to take advantage and to prosper them. And I thought of a situation of greed that a prominent figure in the city of Detroit shared with me. He's an influential person in the city, and he was discussing a new project that they were going to do, but that they needed to get community input. And he said to me, he said, Leon, as I was talking with a number of leaders in the community, a leader pulled me aside. And he was a pastor. And he said, Leon, or he said to this gentleman, he said, as a pastor, he said, hey, whatever issue you need passed, my church can get it passed for you. If you give me the right amount of money, we'll have a bus filled with people from my church, and we'll get off the bus with signs in hand, ready to champion whatever your cause is. You just make the number the right number. Exactly, right? Make no sense. He said, so Leon, like, I'm letting you know that so that you will know what I'm up against. I'm not choosing, I'm not messing with them, I don't have nothing, but I'm letting you know what's out here. And the first time I heard that, it was probably year 3 or 4 in my earlier times of pastoring. I understood, though, how sometimes a pastor can get there. Let me share. Sometimes from my seat, I get to understand and know that there is a family or a single mom who's in the house with 3 kids, and she doesn't have water, she doesn't have gas, and she's trying to make it work. And that this guy comes along with a bag that might help get her lights and her gas turned on today. She's not going to go blow it on hair and shoes the way they try to paint single moms at times. She's going to go and spend it on food. In my early days, I would have said, man, what's wrong with that pastor? He jacked up. I understand, though, how you can be tempted to compromise the faith, the love, the integrity. I understand now, and it's still wrong when you compromise that to try to do good for someone else. But I've learned now the complexities of sin and how Satan sometimes, when you are right up in this thing, can make it look like it's so good. See, you need people to walk with you, to stand with you, to speak to you, to say, we gonna need money, we gonna need to help sister so-and-so, but pastor, that ain't the way. And I pray for brothers and sisters who don't have a community of faith walking with them to help them to not become what Paul is preaching to Timothy about. These arrogant people, these people that are after money, maybe it was all to stuff their pockets. But maybe it was for other still evil motives. I'm grateful for this body. I'm grateful for having women and men of integrity that are here to hold me and Pastor K accountable. I'm grateful for our community. Not everybody has that type of community. And Paul is trying to say to Timothy, be careful. But Pastor Leon and Pastor K is trying to say to you all, MacAv, be careful. It's a slippery slope that you can get easily sucked into if we are not fighting this fight of faith. And the reason why we as a church have taken on this topic of getting into God's word is because it's easy to compromise if you don't have God's word as your foundation. We got to keep coming back to God's word, keep being reminded of his truth, keep being reminded of the value and beauty of integrity, even when it looks like integrity's losing. You look silly nowadays for telling somebody the truth. Kindly, graciously, but honestly, you look silly nowadays. Let the word remind you of your commitment to being a reflection of Christ. Last two verses, verse 20. It says, Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed in so doing have departed from the faith. I remember when I was a kid, my excitement of being like in the second or third grade, and the banking industry came to our school and they helped every single kid set up a checking account, a savings account. And I got to go home with my little savings book, and you come to the school, you put a quarter in the school, they would deposit it for you. It was like crazy excitement. And then I got a little older, and I went to go to the bank myself now, and I'm about to take some money out. And I'm, give them a little money, cool. I'm walking out the bank, and I'm counting my money, walking out. My mom's like, boy, get over here. What did I do? You always count your money at the register, fold it over, put it in your pocket, put it in a place where you know, so you ain't got to go in and be checking. You just tap, tap. It's still there? Yep. Tap, tap. Now, I only had 50 cents, but still. Tap, tap. You just know it's there. But the posture, unfortunately, I had to have growing up in East Cleveland, Ohio, the same posture I have in raising my children in Detroit is when you lead a bank, with your money tucked. You look around, know what's happening. I see you, squirrel. You ain't slick. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm watching everything. That's the posture you gotta have. Why? Because it's evil out here. It's people that want to pray, and it breaks my heart when brothers and sisters from our community will pray on the elderly. People that want to pray on our children, that will take advantage of you because they see a quick good. He's saying, Timothy, I want you to guard what has been entrusted to your care. I want you to protect that thing which is most valuable, and it is God's truth, God's word. MacAb, we have the beauty of God's word. Protect it in your heart. Store it up. See, the reason why I protected it that way is because I saw it as valuable. See God's word in the same way, and let it be something that we store inside of us, because this is a valuable thing that can be a great blessing to many. MacAv, will you join me in prayer? Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this book of 1 Timothy, that we get a chance to fight this good fight, Lord, and we want to do so in a way where we're submitting unto you, empowered by you, led by you, guided by you. We can't fight this fight in and of our own strength. We need your help. Help us, Lord, to see the value of it that we might guard it. Help us, Lord, to realize we're connected to a lineage of fighters, and we too are in that lineage. Help us, Lord, to know that Christ modeled this beautiful confession of our faith, and we get to do the same thing. We love you. We are grateful for you. We are excited to be led by you. It's in Jesus' name we pray.